Hey, 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 this is J.R. McNair with Velocity Small Business Radio. I'm excited to be here today with some great people. We have some exceptional entrepreneurs from all across Atlanta and with varied backgrounds, but all doing some amazing things in the metro Atlanta area. So we're going to get straight to it. I want to make sure that I introduce my first guest, Miss Beatles, okay, with K Beatles Consulting. Okay, can you say hello to our audience, Miss Beatles?
Yes, hello, everyone. Hope you're having a great day today. It is wonderful to be here with you, JR.
Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it. We're going to get into speaking with you first, and then we're going to go on to my man, T. T, can you tell us who you are and where you're from?
Oh, my name is T. Hearn. I'm originally from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Most definitely. Well, welcome. Welcome. Thanks so much for coming.
Man, it's a pleasure to be here, man. Appreciate the opportunity.
Most definitely.
Good to see beautiful smiling faces today.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Always smiling. That's good. Most definitely. We have a two more that will be coming on right after that. Some good people here that are doing some amazing things in the entrepreneurship space. And we're going to get them in a minute. But we're going to go ahead and get started with Miss Beatles. Miss Beatles, listen, go ahead and let us know about your company. What is K Beatles Consulting? You know, I met you. As a matter of fact, I was at the Cobb Galleria Center because we were doing an event, and I went in there to look at the space because we normally have it in exhibit halls, and I was looking at the space just trying to see what the logistics were. And then I walked by, and then I saw these people. They looked like they were buzzing at an event, and I'm a little nosy, so I said, what are y'all doing? And they kind of said, we're taking the training. And I was like, okay. So I waited around just to kind of see who it was, and I think one of your people on your team came by, and they said, you know what? Let me see if I can get her. And so you came out and talked to me. I appreciate that. Tell people about what you do.
Yeah, so that day we were doing a management 101 training. So we specialize in working with new managers and the teams that they lead.
Okay.
So oftentimes people, they get these new jobs and they have no idea what it is to really lead people. I know how to do my job well. I don't know how to lead people. And so we come in and fill that gap within organizations, help people really lessen that leadership curve and that learning curve. That's what we do.
Most definitely. So how do people go about even knowing that you exist? Because you've been in business for 3 years, but it looked like you had a good group of people that were there in that time frame.
Oh, yeah. So we're heavy on networking. So I believe in the power of networking. And a lot of our clients actually come from referrals, which is huge in this industry. So once we're able to go in and make an impact with one organization and they can tell another organization, their other human resource buddies, their other managers who just got promoted, things like that, that really does well for our business. Opportunities like this, where we get to come in and share with audiences as yours, this gives us that exposure that we need to let people know who we are, what we're doing, and how we can serve them.
So how did you get started in this? I mean, this is not, yeah, when you're training people, this is not something that people just normally say. Did you, in your previous life and previous jobs, were you doing, was that what you're doing? I mean, what made you get into this space?
Yeah, so let's see. I did Fortune 100 companies, two different Fortune 100 companies for about 12 years, different levels of management.
Wow.
And so from there, I became chief operations officer for an organization for about 9 years. In all of those roles, the thing I love the most is helping people achieve their goals. So at the end of the day, it's developing in that place of personal growth, really developing your own character. One of the things that I talk about all the time is leading yourself first, leading yourself first. And that just stems back down into that personal growth. And so really taking responsibility for who I am. And so in that space of leadership growth for myself as a COO, as a manager for different companies, I just got to use that experience. And from there, I say, you know what, I want to share it with more people. And that's how I got into the organization. I decided to connect with the John Maxwell team. I've always been a fan of John Maxwell. I've studied his leadership materials for years. And so when I decided to go full time into business, I became certified with the John Maxwell team. So I went through all of his training. I became a certified coach, trainer, and speaker with the John Maxwell team. What that helped my business do is to, again, give me that credibility. But the experience that I have from those previous management roles, from working with thousands of people and helping them achieve their goals, that's what really gave me that spark to go out and say, you know what, there's so many more people just like the people that are within these organizations that can benefit from this hand holding.
Most definitely. So who would be then now that you're not in that role, your ideal customer? Mm-hmm. Who are the people that need to, you say, hey, these are perfect people that we can help? Who is that?
Yeah. So we all can probably relate to somebody that we know that goes to work every day and they're saying, oh, I hate this job. Right. You can probably relate to that.
Oh, yeah. No, no,
you know, a few people who they go to work and they say, oh, I hate this job. Those are the people that I want to work with.
OK.
So if you are in that position, you're going to work every day and you're saying, I don't know why I do it. If you are a person who you took that management role, that promotion just to get the pay increase, you're the person I want to talk to. Right. These are the people that we work with to really help them align their strengths with the goals of the organization. So when we can find that sweet spot for you within the organization, then listen, that's the winning combination. But so often people are going to work just for the money, just because that's what everybody else does. But if you're out there and you're saying, I know that there's more, there has to be more to work than this. There has to be more to life than this, but you don't want to start a business. You know that entrepreneurship is not for you. You know that you're going to be in the workplace. And that's a lot of people who fit in that category.
It's a lot of people.
We want to talk to you.
Most definitely. That is awesome. So this talks a lot about this buzzword, and it's not just a buzzword, but it's so much that has infused in our society. We go to talk about culture. Okay. And culture is so very important. And how does culture work into what you're doing? I mean, you know, can you talk about your definition of culture and how what you do as an organization and as a professional ties into helping maybe improve culture?
Sure. And that's a really good question. So the thing with culture is, in a lot of organizations, what we see right now is we're still stuck in the traditional culture of the workplace. So it's the come in, put your head down, work really hard, and maybe you'll get promoted and you'll be able to retire and get the watch. Unfortunately, there's still a lot of people who believe that that's going to happen for them. And that is not our current reality,
right?
That's not happening anymore. And so from that, you know, we saw the whole exit. Everybody's running out of corporate and they're starting their own businesses. Nothing's wrong with that for the person that it's for. But if we really want to change the culture within our organization, we each as individuals have to take responsibility for how we show up. So what's happening is we're going to work and we're saying, it's my manager's responsibility. It's the person up top's responsibility to say, hey, Carla, I see you. Look at you doing something good. We want to pull you up. Nobody's saying that. You have to show up for yourself first. And so we're waiting for the organizations to say, hey, let's shift the culture. But you are the culture. Totally. When you show up with the right attitude, you shift the culture. You begin to shift the environment. And so we each have to take responsibility for ourselves, for how we're showing up, for what we're giving out, for the attitudes that we bring on a day-to-day basis. But I believe that comes back all the way down to getting really clear on what it is that we want. If I'm not clear on what it is that I want, if I'm not clear on how to communicate, if I don't have the confidence to show up as my true self because I think they are watching me, right?
Totally.
They are looking at me. Who is they?
Exactly.
Right? But they always exist in every organization.
That's right.
And so if I don't have that clarity on what it is, if I don't have the confidence and the commitment to be able to communicate my purpose, communicate whatever my goals are, communicate my strengths, then I'm stuck. Right. And so then I affect the culture in a negative way. But if I can choose to show up in a positive way, shift my attitude, I can begin to shift the culture within organizations. And I believe it goes from the bottom all the way to the top.
Yeah. No, that's great. That is great. You talked a lot about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And I played college and professional football as a running back. And a lot of times I would always, when I go and speak to different teams, and I always tell them, I said, in the beginning, you kind of almost have to, in a sense, almost be selfish with yourself to a point where you have to develop yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you don't focus on yourself and you always try to focus on everybody else, then you'll never really, you'll be the weak link. Okay.
Always.
And so you have to hold your own self accountable. That's one of probably my biggest pet peeves are people making excuses and pointing a finger.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the reason, or that person is the reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, what I've seen though, over the years I've been in business, tends to be those people that don't end up going to their fullest potential or capacity, reaching their fullest capacity. Talk a little bit about that.
So accountability is one of those words that I think people just throw out. It sounds good. I'm a manager. You know what? I have to hold you accountable. Well, you can't hold me accountable if I don't allow you to hold me accountable, right?
That's right.
So I first have to give you permission to hold me accountable.
That's right.
You said it right. I have to give hold myself accountable first. And so that looks like me showing up on time. That looks like me committing to my commitments. So I believe it was Les Brown who said that if more of us would just commit to our own commitments, I agreed to come to work for this wage at this time with these benefits. And then all of a sudden, after the honeymoon phase of work is over, I said, I don't want it anymore. I no longer want to commit to that. I want something else. Why do I want something else? Because, well, Johnny got it. Johnny got something different, so I want what Johnny has. But I didn't have the confidence to ask for that. I didn't even have the knowledge to ask for that. And it's okay for you to want it now, because once we know something, we aspire to something higher, right?
That's right.
So now that I know, I have to do something different in order to get something different. But we want to keep doing the same things and not holding ourselves to a higher standard. Right. So once I can see something new, I'm exposed to something new, I can reach for something new, but I have to hold myself accountable to a higher standard now. And so the accountability always starts with me. It's not somebody else. And so once I lead myself first, hold myself accountable, then I can give you permission to hold me accountable. But that accountability thing, again, I think it's one of the overused words in leadership, saying I just have to hold them accountable to do this, and then it'll be okay. Well, you can't hold me accountable if you don't have a relationship with me, right?
That's right.
Relationships within organizations are so crucial. I like to talk about relational leadership, because if we are leading people, we have a responsibility to help them grow. We have a responsibility to help them achieve their goals. But if I don't know how to lead myself, because remember, I was just good at doing my job, I never learned how to lead people. And so now here I am saying, oh, I have to hold you accountable. That doesn't make any sense.
That's right. That's right. Totally. No, I really love that. And that's something right now that we as a nation, I mean, it goes past. I mean, it's from people that are in marriages or in relationships, mm-hmm. are in the workforce, or in everywhere. That's so much a big deal. I wanted to talk about something really quick, and this is just pulling away from that a little bit. I want to just talk a little bit about some of the things over the years that you have done. You have become the 2018 in the top 10 young professionals, and also the chair for the DC Small Business Committee. And talk about that and how you got involved with those initiatives and what those things mean.
Yeah. So as I shared earlier, I'm really big on networking. And I am a person who enjoys seeing progress. And so if there's an opportunity for me to connect, to share what I know, to connect with other people in my community, I'm really big on that. So I got actively involved in the Douglas County Chamber.
Okay.
Probably almost 3 years ago.
Okay.
Right off the bat, that was one of the things I did when I went into business, because I believe in the power of collaboration. I believe in the power of connecting with great people. And so from that, I was able to share so many things with a lot of different organizations. And so that I was nominated for the 2018 Top 10 Young Professional. So one of the requirements is I had to be, I was right at the edge of the age requirement.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I no longer qualify because of age.
Okay. Okay.
So
I got
good
you.
I made
you.
It for that. Right.
I got you.
But then with the chairman of the Small Business Committee, that was another honor. The board of the Douglas County Chamber, selected me and nominated me for that. And that's been an awesome experience to be able to impact other small businesses within our community. So I was just, informed about a week or so ago that they would like me to continue on with that for next year. So excited to continue in that role, and making an impact with other small businesses in our community as well.
That's great. I have three questions for you. The first is, you're an author. What's the book about?
Yeah. So that book is all about women in leadership. It's called Women Everywhere Level Up and Lead. And so that was a collaboration project that I did. And so that was, again, all about empowering other women. So as I have been going out training and working with different organizations, I encountered a lot of women who were in high up positions. And so one of the things that we hear all the time is that women are being held back and they're not, you know, we're not at the top. But the women that are in this book, these are women who are holding some major positions within some major organizations, food service industry, nonprofit industry, United Way, DaVita Dialysis, all kinds of organizations. I mean, and we have some high up women within that. And so each chapter is one of these women sharing their stories and sharing insights for other women to be able to take it and say, hey, here's how I moved up and you should do it too. We want to see more women at the top. We want to see some of these gaps and things that they're talking about being closed. We want some women to get clear on what it is that they do and why they show up to work every day and then be able to communicate it to other people.
That's great. That's great. You know, I was just with Jill from the Women Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
And but I want to kind of talk a little bit. Just tell people in a couple sentences, what is your women's organization? Mm-hmm. You have a women's organization. Yes. Also, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Please.
So the National Women in Leadership Association is all about providing those resources and tools for women to be able to show up at work as their true selves. So one of the things that we find all the time, and this is one of those things that people, you know, I have a little bit of a different opinion on, and people think a little bit different than I do. But I believe that this conversation around Me Too and the conversation around the gender gap has a lot to do with us and how we show up and our lack of confidence and commitment to ourselves. So sometimes we don't get it, and there's these gaps because we're not asking, we're not showing up, we're not going for it. Not all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But there are a lot of people that we're working with, and we see them, and they just didn't ask. And when they found out that Johnny across the hallway got the raise, they're saying, he got my promotion. No, he didn't get your promotion. Did your boss even know you wanted a promotion? Did he know you were interested in that role? What did you ask for? What did you go into your one-on-one talking about? Did you just say, hey, did you all improve my vacation for, you know, next month? And that's the only thing you came into the meeting with? But that's what we find with a lot of people. They're not talking about, hey, what's next for me? And here's what I want to see. They're just going in, listening, bringing nothing to the table. So that women's organization is to give them those tools and resources so that they can go in better equipped.
I'm going to tell you, that's a book you need to write too, right there. I say, you know, I'll buy it. You know, I'll buy it. So I'm just saying, I just think that's a topic right now that a lot of people are very unclear on. Yeah. And so we're just getting what we hear from maybe the louder voices that are saying things when that may not be the full scope of what's really going on. But I think if perspective is very important. Yeah. And so I think that's great. So I'm gonna hold you to that book thing. So two last questions.
Yeah.
Number one, I want to know, and you can answer these in any question, any fashion that you choose. What was your biggest mistake you've made so far in your career? Mm-hmm. And then number two is, what was the biggest thing that you've done well, your biggest win?
Okay. So biggest mistake, let's see. I would say that I invested a lot of money right off the bat with some things that I just didn't need to do right away. So I can go into a lot of depth about that, a lot of lessons learned in that, but invested through a lot of money at a lot of things right off the bat that just wasn't
important,
all the way necessary.
That's right.
So did that, and looking back on it, I can say, that wasn't the wisest way to go about some of those things. So it happened, but a lot of lessons learned from
Most definitely.
And then let's see, biggest win. That would be, I would say, taking inspired action every day. So that's the thing that moves my business forward, is it's inspired action. It's my time that I take for quiet reflection. And as I get things and things are downloaded into me, being able to move quickly with things, I am definitely a doer. I am one of those people who I believe in, listen, let's take action. Let's stop talking about everything. Let's move forward. And so I believe that that's the thing that really keeps me moving forward, is being able to take that inspired action.
That is great. That is great. So tell our audience and tell everybody here how, if they wanted to get in touch with Carla, they wanted to get in touch with Beatles Consulting. Mm-hmm. How do they do that?
Yeah, you can call me at 404-793-1696. Again, that phone number is 404-793-1696. You can also find me online at K Beatles Consulting. That's K-B-E-E, D as in David, L-E-S, Consulting. All right, so you can find me anytime at K Beatles Consulting.
Thank you.
All the social media links.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and thanks for having me.
No, thank you. And hang in for our other guests here. We're so excited. That was a great, great, great interview, right?
Awesome.
Amazing. And doing some amazing things. Yeah, definitely inspired me too. You know, I have a lot of stuff to do. Every time I hear the people making things happen, it makes me say, okay, I got to keep stepping my game up, you know. So that's good. Well, my man T.
Yes, sir.
In the house, man.
Yes, sir.
From Indiana, right?
That's correct.
That is correct, my friend. Let me tell you something,
Hoosier.
T. That's right, man. Look, all day. And you're a basketball player and all.
Oh, man, an avid basketball player. I don't want to give my age up, but even at maybe 40 plus, if I can say the possibilities of being consistent is important to me. So I'm still in the gym on a regular basis and playing in leagues. I love it.
Man, you look like you could just drop step and go and dunk on somebody right now. So.
Tell my knees that. Tell my knees that.
Okay.
If I get them to agree with me, I think we can make something happen.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Hey, listen, man. I'm going to tell you something, man. We met at a networking event. Uh-huh. And when we met there and you were kind of telling me, I meet thousands of people every year, thousands mm-hmm. of people. And so when I meet people at certain places, certain people impress upon me with things. Mm-hmm. And, you were impressive and I like what you were talking about, but I'm going to tell you, man, that book that you had, this vision board book, and we're going to have pictures of this for you all when y'all can listen to the replay. But he was showing me a book that he had came out with called the vision board book. And it was so creative, so innovative. I never really seen something like that. And you put so much thought into it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday, as a matter of fact, because I mean, I'm always out here doing advertising for you too.
I appreciate it. See all the fun we get.
Look, with all the people I know, I'm like their greatest fan, man.
That's so greatly appreciated.
You know, and I'm pushing people. I was at a Dunkin' Donuts last night, and it was a guy there. He said he did some things in coaching and letting people know about their vision. I said, vision. Uh-huh. I said, I got a book. So I pulled it out. I said, let me show you this, man. This is cool. He said, oh man. And I went in and showed him everything with it. It's great, man. I think this is a great way to produce content in mm-hmm. a book format so that right. people can actually utilize it mm-hmm. in more of a book/workbook type of a component.
Correct.
But it's the thing that got me with it was the packaging of it.
Okay.
And then the way that, you know, I could tell you kind of brought in a lot of your background from design and all uh-huh. of that, you know, and having the experience you've had in those other areas, it really kind of came true. And I'm not going to give all your
go
thunder
ahead, man.
With it, man.
You're doing a great job, brother. You know, so, you're doing a great job selling
it
up for
me. Look, I don't want to give away all your thunder, but all I'm saying is, man, I saw that thing, man, and that is you did a great job with it. You were excellent in execution, which I think that's really, really good. And so I've tried to do my best, as I do with everybody that I call in our Velocity family. I've tried to make sure that I support and just be one of their cheerleaders and
man,
one of their biggest
for
fans
so
out
much.
There. So tell people about you. Tell people about this book and get into it.
Get into it. Okay. For the recap, my name is T. Hearn. I'm the creator of the Possible Life Vision Board book. So the background behind the Possible Life is that I really do believe that any and everything is possible. Just take some faith and consistency.
That's right.
There's two things that we can connect with the ideas of our vision and what we want out of life. And it's if we have the faith to push forward and we can put forth the consistency behind it, we can find success. So I created the Possible Life Vision Board book. It is a workbook, like you said, /book that helps us to live out our life and our dreams and make it possible for us to do all the things that we've thought about that we have not yet accomplished. So a lot of people are familiar with vision boards. But if you're not, vision boards are a visualization tool where you actually create these boards, which have images, which have words and text that paint a picture of what you want your future to look like, right? So I've taken that and I've added and taken a 10X to that with putting a plan behind it. So originally when I had the idea, I was creating vision boards for myself on a regular basis, but I felt like there was something that was missing. So about 7 to 8 years ago, I had this thought because I was like, man, if I could not only take my vision board, but then put a process behind it, I think I would be a lot more successful and seeing some of the fruits of my labor. I believe in visualization, the law of attraction. I do believe in the manifestation power, but yet there was a missing piece. So I would create these boards and they would start on my wall. Then they would go to my desk and then they would go to the floor. And then I'd be like, where is it at?
That's right.
So I had it in front of me, but then it was like it was slowly start to make its way to different places. And I said, I needed something that I could keep in front of me on a regular basis that had a process. And I was very avid and committed to planners. So every year I give me a yearly planner. I work through my goals. And I said, what if I could marry the two? And so I first started looking. I couldn't find it. And so I started saying, well, I need to create one. So it started off as a thought, and that thought slowly started to manifest itself as time moved on. So about 3 years ago, I got really serious about bringing it to life. And as you said, I had a background, if you spoke slightly about it, I had a background in media work. So I got a undergrad in television and radio. I do graphic design. I do multimedia. I have been a publisher of a couple magazines. And so I said, I could just take my experience and skills and develop this and produce this myself. So started working on it and did a lot of background studying on, you know, the process of planning and goal setting. I did a lot on visualization. There's a lot of research, and I'm going to take this segue to say there's a lot of research behind visualization that is true. Now, some people say, oh, yeah, but how do you manifest, or how do you make that happen? And I'll ask you guys this right here, the same, just a quick segue. Have you ever had a dream that you woke up from and your heart was racing?
Yeah, right? Totally.
So let me ask you, was that dream real or not?
It was real.
Where was it real at?
In my mind.
Exactly. The power of visualization lives in our thoughts, and our body and our mind is attached to it in our subconscious. So what happens if you have a bad dream and you wake up from it, your heart's racing and your body is connected to what took place in your mind. Same thing with everyday life, right? In our subconscious, there is a truth and a reality that's taking place. And if we could visualize our life and our future and start to tap into it, we could start to watch it manifest itself. So there's a research study done by Harvard, right, about this piano study. And what happened was it said that they took three different groups. The first group, they said, we're just going to put you in a room with the piano, right? You're not going to do anything. The second group, over a period of 5 days, the second group, they said that we're going to put you in the room with the piano, and all we want you to do is imagine these five keystrokes, right? Third group has said, we want you to actually practice these five keystrokes over a matter of 5 days, right? The first control group, nothing changed in the brain, the stimulated brain part of the brain that acknowledged movement when it came to these five keystrokes. The group that actually thought about it measured the exact same as the group that practiced it over those five day period. So the group that thought about it, only visualized it, it stimulated the same part of the brain that the people that actually physically did the movements with their fingers. So there's power in visualization that has research behind it. So getting back to what I was saying is, did some study on research on visualization. Then the part about connecting our plans and our goals, research done on that also, that says that people who actually write out their goals and their plans are 33% more successful than those who don't. And it's the process of putting something in front of us, as Carla said, that holds us accountable. So I married all these different thoughts to say that I came up with the Possible Life Vision Board book. You create a vision board, you have the power of visualization, but then you also put together the process of planning and goals, and not just generalizing it, but we attack all five subject life areas. In order to bring true balance to who we are, we have to have balance in our life. At one time in my life, I was struggling with balance because, you know, I was very much attached to business goals, right? So that's just one subject life area. Business and your career. I was going so hard that I remember getting a call one time from my wife, and she said, are you happy at home? And it shocked me. I'm like, what do you mean? She said, because you're never here. Because I was so driven by business and career goals that my life was imbalanced. So when we started to tackle the book, we said, well, we have to bring balance to our lives. So not only do we need to think about our business and career goals, we need to think about our family and our relationships. We need to think about our physical and our health. We need to think about our spiritual and our mental. And we need to think about our personal and our self-care. These are the five subject life areas that we need to think about. And I said, well, let's put all this in the book. Let's create true balance when we start to seek after bringing our vision to life. So what you have here is a compounded power pack book that says, not only am I going to help you to bring your vision to life, we're going to put some goals behind it, and we're going to have some balance. And so in its essence, that's the Possible Life Vision Board book. It's 52 weeks worth of planning and goals. It's establishing your vision through a vision board, and it's bringing implementation and clarity to it. So along with your vision board, you're going to say, why do I want what's on my vision board? Your reason why. You're going to have your I am affirmations, and you're going to have your goals for the year. Once you establish that, once again, you're going to walk through 52 weeks of goals and reflection. So the first part of the week, you're going to walk through actually putting down goals I can do this week in this subject life area to bring my bigger picture together for the year. And then at the end of the week, you're going to have reflections to hold yourself accountable. As Carla said, to hold yourself accountable, say, did I do what I had on my list? Right? Because it's one thing to put it down. It's another thing to say, how do I hold myself accountable? And inside there, you have a vision partner. So if JR is my vision partner, I'm calling JR up at the end of the week. And I got notes in there that's going to show you when you see the book. It's going to say, let's talk, JR. I talked to JR on November the 19th, 2019, and we talked about my vision. And JR is going to ask me questions. Did you do what you're supposed to do this week? All right, there's the accountability. And it also has some bonuses in the book. It has the possible list, which is a bucket list, which you write down 101 things you want to complete in your life. And then it has some notes. And then to top it off, it also has one more vision board page. But at the end of it, that vision board page or pages will be about you and your life. It'll be about the things that you accomplished at the end of the year. So you start with what you want your life to look like, and then you're going to end with what your life did look like a year later.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I'm really taking the book out because I have my copy of the book, and okay. I wanted to lay it out so you can get a visual, a representation of it. And I mean, you know, just really putting the time in, man. You know, this is definitely worth the dollars. I buy books all the time,
right?
And so I buy books, audio books. I like physical books too that I can touch and feel. And it's just, you know, you can really tell that you took the time to really think about this and think through it.
Oh man, I appreciate it. Yeah. So like when you look at the actual vision board pages, that's a harder cardstock. So, you know, and the reason why is because when people create their vision board, we wanted to be able to make sure that they could, it could hold the glue, it could hold the tape, anything that they used in order to create their vision board, we want to make sure that it could hold it in the form of a book, the same way you would with a poster board. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then as you can see, all of it's tabbed as far as the subject life area. So when you want to work on that specific area of your life, it's easy to get to. We made sure that it was tabbed.
Yeah, most definitely. And what... You have the balance here, and it's a balance of these different do most people, when they go and do vision board parties and things of that nature, when they go in there, is it typically unproportioned in their vision, or is it?
Yeah, it definitely is. So what happens a lot of times when you gather, you know, people together for a vision board party, it's the energy that moves the party, right? It's what do you want for your life and how do you feel about your future? And so people just start grasping for ideas or the things that pop in their head. They say, oh, well, I want a new car and I want a new house and I want to experience this great vacation. And a lot of times it's lending toward an area or a place in their life that maybe they're lacking in, right? So they're thinking about, oh, I want a new car. I don't have a new car. Oh, I want a new a house or a new spouse or yeah. I want to go on a vacation where, you know, so they put all these
new houses,
they put these new grandiose ideas on the board, but it's not really balanced. And some people are able to tap into it, but we wanted to be specific about giving you the areas. So sometimes it's career and entrepreneur heavy. Right.
Yeah.
Other times it's the physical attributes, or I want to lose weight, or I want to gain weight, or I want to build muscle. So sometimes it's heavy about whatever's on your mind the most at that moment. But that's not true balance. True balance is when we look at our life and say that I'm a holistic individual, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, all these areas. How do I bring balance to that? And how do I leverage each area? You know what I'm saying? Whether or not it's a strength or it's not, I'm not as strong in the area. How do I bring balance to it? So a lot of times people do not, unfortunately, attack all five subject life areas when they're at a vision board party or an event. But so that's why we try to cure that disease.
No, it is, and I think it is a disease. Let me say this. I was speaking to the gentleman in Dunkin' Donuts. I meet a lot of people in Dunkin' Donuts. I'm just in donut shops. But anyway, so I was there with him and we were talking and I was telling him about my vision and the things that I wanted to do over the next 5 years. Because I always ask people that when I spend time with them to really get an idea of really what they're looking to do in 5 years. So we always underestimate typically what we can do in a 5 year period. We always overestimate what we can do in a 1 year period. And the one thing we spoke about, he said, man, you know what? Nobody can really, he said, you have so much passion and drive that mm-hmm. it's probably, you probably just get it. He said, but I'm going to tell you this, because I was trying to always figure out how to stay motivated with mm-hmm. when I played professional football, when I played football my entire life, I haven't worked out in almost 10 years. And it,
well, you're doing good, brother.
Well, man, listen, let me say something to you.
You look pretty healthy there.
Well, I look, but see, this is the thing. I'm going to say this.
I got
my mom. Okay. Mm-hmm. She passed away 5 years ago. Okay.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And, now my mom's genetics and my dad's genetics are amazing. And so from the outside, my mom was in her 60s, but mm-hmm. she had the body of a 30-year-old woman.
Okay.
And it's, you can look a certain way and you might just be jacked up in the inside.
Internally, right.
And so, you know, and I still feel strong. I'm still in great on that end. But the one thing, I said, I just couldn't really get the motivation. I was training in football to stay in shape so a 350-pound man didn't take my head off. It wasn't to try to look a certain way or you know, do those. It was just to be in top condition so I could compete. Now that when I stopped playing in 2005, I retired. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and when I stopped, it was like, well, what's my motivation? And right. So now the one thing, when I was speaking to him yesterday, he said, you know what? He said, you might have nobody's going to be able to stop you from what you're doing. But if you don't support your vessel that you have in here, mm-hmm. then that's the only way they can stop the vessel. Right. Now you might have a capacity or desire to want to do that. But if you don't support this vessel with exercise, training, all those things, then you won't be able to carry out the vision.
Execute everything else. Right.
Yeah. So is what, you know, I love the balance and I think mm-hmm. it's important. Is this something that came out of your basketball background? Is it something that just came out of, I know you spoke about the balance in your life, mm-hmm. particularly in your marriage and things of that nature, but just this holistic balance outside of that, was that just the culmination of it or where did it all start?
So actually, yes, it's learning by default. You know, you go through the process of life and some things just happen, right? You don't expect them. And that's kind of the default experience that you're having, is that nobody is adding to or taking away. It's just happening. And that what was taking place. I've been a serial entrepreneur for 20 plus years. And with each adventure that I had, there would be some highs and some lows. Well, specifically at one time or period in my life, I was experiencing some lows and I thought going harder would be the answer. Mm-hmm. So I thought it'd be easier for me just to push harder, to go harder. So I'm spending more time away from home. I'm not taking care of my health as well. Avid basketball player, wasn't playing basketball, wasn't going to the gym. All I did was work at the office all day. I mean, it would be leave the house in the morning at 7, 8 o'clock, be at the office at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. A few times more than enough, I stayed all night at the office. So it created a lot of imbalance. And even in my personal life with things that I was committed to. So I was committed to a fellowship and my family would call, say, are you going to make it for study this week? And I'd be like, yeah, I'm on my way, you know, and then I wouldn't show up. I'd be at the office trying to take another phone call, trying to make another appointment work or doing my best to try to complete another task. And so I was struggling with balance. And once again, I'm just being repetitive now. I got a phone call and said, are you happy at home? And it just crushed me. I'm like, why would you question my happiness? Like, what was going on? Like, you're never here. That's the imbalance. You know, I wasn't looking at the full vision and balance of my life and thinking, am I taking care of my family? Are my relationships healthy? Am I taking care of my body? And am I eating well? I wasn't eating well. You know, I'm eating one time a day. You know, oh, that. What does my vision say, though? My vision said I should be eating regularly. I should be at the gym on a regular basis. And not just that. Think about this. Think about your personal self-care. When we're not taking care of, like you said, your physical care, right? You know, JR has to take care of his physical care or everything else falls apart.
Sure.
It's the same thing with our internal being. When we're not taking care of our personal self-care, we fall apart and we don't realize it. There are things that nourish our being, things that make us happy. For me, now this is going to sound odd. I don't know. It may have been for football at you at some time in your life. Mm-hmm. You can't do football alone. I can't do basketball alone. Mm-hmm. I can go to the gym and shoot around and actually it does something for me. Mm-hmm. I can think clearly. I have a sense of peace when I'm shooting around, right? It's just my thing. What I started to figure out, that's my personal self-care. My spouse, my wife, she may be like, well, oh, I want to go get a massage. That may be her personal self-care. She says, I want to take a moment just for me to read my book. That's all I want to do. That's my personal self-care. So in thinking about that balance, there is a sense of I do want to take care of me. And I do want to take care of the people around me. I do want to take care of my health. I do want to take care of my career. there's a connected part of ourselves that's just not one-sided. So, yeah, it was by default. It was some mistakes that I made, some choices that I made that led me in a direction that caused imbalance. So when I started to create the book, I started saying, let me look at this life holistically.
So that's the next thing. Your same thing that I asked Carla, your biggest mistake and your biggest gain.
Biggest mistake and biggest gain. So the biggest mistake that I've made, you know, I'm going to separate the personal life. The biggest mistake I've made in business is a lack of follow through. So in business, a lot of times we get great grandiose ideas and we push forward, but it's important to be consistent and to follow through even when times are challenging. So I've had some great, phenomenal ideas, but because it didn't move as fast as I wanted it, I bailed too soon. And so consistency and follow through is very important. I do think I could have some great successes and some other entrepreneurial visions that didn't happen. So that's one of my greater mistakes. On a personal side, it was not creating balance in my life. That's what that was. Second question is my greatest successes. Okay. So my greatest success is, I would say, being an example for my children. The way I translate that into business is when they are able to see their father be an entrepreneur, to follow his dreams, to try to make a way out of no way. I mean, literally to use your creativity and use all the intuitiveness and all the ingenuity that's inside of you. I ain't talking about externally. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about other people's resources. I'm talking about your God-given gifts, what's inside of you. And to follow that is one of the most important things in business for me and for my family. So being an example to my children is my greatest business success.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome, man. I'm so excited, man. On that note, we just need to get up and just shake it off a little bit. Just I'm good at that. That's awesome, man. That's awesome, man. How do people get in touch with you? How can people reach you? How can people, if they want to possibly come and work through this with you in person, how do they do that?
So everything is Vision Board Book. So you can go to visionboardbook.com if you want to get in contact with myself, or if you want to follow the book, or if you want to purchase the book, visionboardbook.com. Also, social media handles exactly the same. You can find me on Facebook at Vision Board Book. Also, Instagram handle at Vision Board Book.
That's great, man. We're so excited. Because I meet people all of the time, I make sure, even today, at the at Panera Bread, I was there, just one guy, he was there getting some water at the counter, and a lot of people, they just walk by, people don't say anything. They just feel like, oh, you know what? Well, I ain't feeling good. Well, I ain't finna say nothing to them either. I talk to everybody. I don't care where I'm at. And so I was just there talking and met the past chair of the commissioner, one of the past chairs of the Rockdale County. And we're going to do some things together. But that's just from opening up your mouth and speaking to people. At an event we recently did in Buckhead, I had an opportunity to meet somebody there who was doing some amazing things in the world of entrepreneurship to support entrepreneurs and businesses on all fronts. And so she's in here with her business partner today, Ms. Martina C. Young. Hello and good day.
Well, hello.
Yeah, most definitely.
It was a pleasure to meet you as well.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You know, we go to events all around Atlanta all the time, and sometimes you don't know what you're going to get there. And so when I meet quality people, I make sure I stay in touch with them. And as T said, follow up. You know, that's something that's important to me. I remember I was looking for T's card everywhere. I was looking on his website. I mean, trying to just get in touch with it. I said, you know what? And then I just, cause I'm a big person about following up when I see people, and I like people. People that I like, I want to make sure that I can engage back with them. So no, I spoke to you. We had a lot of things in common, and,
yes.
You know, having a passion for entrepreneurship and business. Tell them about your company and about what you do and about why you have come to do it.
Wow. That's a lot. Okay. So number one, you brought up something. We met at a mutual colleague's event.
That's correct.
And one of the things that I tell my clients is you have to show up. So this particular colleague, Jacqueline Waller, I call her by name.
That's right.
She always shows up for anything that we do.
That's right.
All the time. She's always there. So
that's
it was raining and it was cold.
That's right.
And I was tired.
That's right.
I had to show up. And
that's
right. I was talking to Dexter in our meeting, and it was like, you know, if I hadn't showed up, we wouldn't have met. Totally. This opportunity wouldn't even be here, you know, because I showed up. And that's the basis of entrepreneurship. The thing I'm very passionate about is assisting each other in each other's growth pattern.
That's right.
So what I do is, I'm sorry, I just jumped in. I'm Martina Young. My business is My Enterprises here in Atlanta, Georgia, and Boss Taxes. And then my business partner is here, and I'll let him introduce himself. But we train entrepreneurs in business development, marketing, management, automation, business by statistics, anything and everything that it takes to build a solid business. And one of the things, JR, you and I were talking about, and I can't remember if it was on the phone or in person, is that it's a lot of beautiful people who want to start businesses, but they started haphazardly. So we'll talk to them. Oh yeah, I'm in business. And then find out, well, we actually had a client that hired us to come in and figure out what her problem was. She's been in business 7 years, generating mad income throughout the United States, and was a sole proprietorship.
Wow.
Because we're like, well, you know, what, are you an LLC? Are you incorporated?
Being self-employment.
And she was like, wait a minute, what's that? We're like, oh, shoot, stop.
Yeah.
We got to fix this first.
That's right.
And that's what we do. We are trainers, not necessarily coaches. And this is my perspective. My perspective of a coach is what I typically see on TV or when I ran track and we were being yelled at and we're talked to away from. But when you're hurt, it's the trainer that's out there with you in the rain and yelling at you and pushing you and compelling you. And that's what we do. We work with our clients intimately to make sure that, because to me, it's like this, we can have all the clients in the world, but if they're not really successful, then I just collected a check. I'm not making a difference. And I have no interest in doing that.
That's awesome. So when your background, because you have a tax business,
yes.
And you do a lot of things throughout in various areas. What made you want to focus on entrepreneurs?
I've always been the go-to person. My dad brought me into his business when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And at 14, I was calling on his clients and collecting from adults, you know, and
my daddy
it's like, you know, and it's like, you don't say my dad, you say Allman Enterprises. It's like, okay, I am calling from. So, but that taught me, you know, I mean, you can't, what's the worst thing to tell me is no.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. You know, right. It's like, whatever. So, my thing was, I was a corporate trainer before I left corporate America in 2008. And in doing that, I've always wanted to see people win. And by the way, when I left corporate America, that was business number 17. So I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Okay.
Like at its best, but I've always found myself helping people. So when I left, I said, well, I'm just going to do graphic design. Then I got into web design. And from web design, I was building companies because I'm like, I need the information for your website. I don't know. You should have that. What? This is your business. So I was helping them build their business from what I knew of business, and they're making money off of it. And I'm like, but I'm just trying to build a website. And I was like, let me just kind of figure some things out on this. And then I've always had a desire for marketing, which was my degree is in. And it was in 2015. I said, that's it. I'm done with the graphics and the web design. Let me do where I am most successful. And from that, I also authored a book and released it in 2017, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Becoming a Boss. And a boss is a business owner striving for success. So, yeah.
No, and thank you for my book. I'm going to read it. I tell you, people give me books and I'll go because I love to get into content. I'm a lifelong learner.
Mm-hmm.
If you all ever have an opportunity, go. It's probably the best TED talk you will ever see. It's one of my mentors. His name is Benjamin Dunlap. And he has a TED talk about being a lifelong learner.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about a Mr. Papadopoulos. I went to Wofford College and it's a great TED talk, but I'm always learning. I'm learning all the time. Mm-hmm. And the more I know, the more I realize what I don't know.
Right.
And so I'm going to get in that book and dive into it. What made you go write the book? And just give me a snapshot real briefly on what the book is about.
Okay, so if any of you all are familiar with Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad and his approach to, you know, the poor dad was the bad scenario, then the rich dad was, this is the way you should do it. So I took at the time my 9.5 years as an entrepreneur's trainer and an entrepreneur and just took different scenarios that I saw that either I was involved in. So anywhere in my book where it says me, that really did happen, but I had to change some, you know, people's names and businesses, but these are all true stories and I lumped them up. So like never leave money on the table. You can't make a dead horse walk. Okay. So bad partnerships. Why are you trying to drag a business partner who doesn't want to go on with the vision, you know, but people do that. And then they wonder why the business isn't moving because you got a dead horse. Have you ever thought about trying to pick up a dead horse? Can you make it move? You can't, you know? And then also there's a lot of stuff, but the first chapter is really which entrepreneur are you? And that helps you to identify where you are. I'm, of course, the hardcore entrepreneur. That's what I am. But you have to know where you are so that you can get to the next step. So you can have a plan. And then actually get through that to get to a goal, a realistic goal, because there's all steps. Everybody has the ability to become a billionaire. I just believe that 100%. You stop yourself because of you. And that's kind of what a lot of the things and the principles that we teach in this book. And it's really through, to me, the best way to learn is through real scenarios, not just what if. No, these are real people who really went through stuff. So you're probably going to go through the same thing, you know. And then I'm working on my second book, which is The 20-Hour Entrepreneur.
That's so great. Yeah. That's great. I like that. That was and you're true. And that's true about putting things in action. I speak and I advise a lot of colleges and universities and their business departments. And they, you know, sometimes they're always trying to get me to come in the classroom and teach. And I'm like, I don't really like to get in the classroom and teach theory. I like to be practical.
Correct.
And so I said, if you want me to come in here, let's do some practical application. So I took 15 students and helped them start companies. And I said, you're going to learn through execution.
Yes.
So I think that's very, very important.
Thank you.
Part of that execution comes through having a good team, right? So,
word.
You know, you got a brother right here sitting next to me. Could you introduce him and just what do y'all, you know, tell me about what he does and how y'all kind of interact on that team?
Well, me and this brother go back 32 years.
Wow.
This is William and Dexter Jones of Vendetta Systems, and Dex is a tech problem solver and everything.
32 years.
32 yes. years.
Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy. I mean, you know, most people ain't even 32 years old, let alone knowing somebody for that long.
Yes.
Right.
And being still in good company and you got a business together.
Yes.
Very special.
That says a lot.
Yes.
That says a lot.
And I'm an acquired taste.
Okay.
So he can deal with all of this craziness right here.
I got you. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So I meet entrepreneurs all the time. And when I meet and I'm consulting and advising, I meet especially people and I say, well, so what does each one of you all do? And they say, well, we both just do the same thing. I said, well, how can you keep people accountable? Right. If you're all doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. What do each one of you all do? And then how do y'all hold each other accountable?
So I would say first, we really kind of work in each other's blind spots. And sometimes finding a team, especially from playing sports, myself, you always need people that have different roles in different places. And one of the things, she had been doing the web design for a while. I'm in technology, something that's also in my space. I said, okay, look, let's free up the space for you to do marketing. And then I can spend some of the time doing the website things. My background is really in like sales and tech combination. So I can operate in the sales space. She can focus on the marketing. When she gets something technical, she can send it over here. I can send clients in the business development space over to her. And so we really just bounce things off of each other. And it's a really good partnership. It's about Are we going on 3 years old now?
Almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're about 3 years old now. We both had been entrepreneurs before this independently, and we kind of ran into each other at a high school event and said, oh, let's meet at Panera Bread. Met at Panera Bread.
And to show up, because I never went to any of the high school stuff. And none. Just all of a sudden, I was like, I guess I'm going to go.
Yeah. What high school?
Lithonia High School here
in Lithonia. Yes. I was just in out there in Lithonia today.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I was just out there today at a Panera Bread. That's where I met the other person out there. Yeah. So
beautiful country out there.
Yeah, totally, totally. So people meet people all the time, and they know people, and they run into people all the time. What made you say, hey, 3 years ago, we need to go and do this business together?
Okay, so when I was building websites, the worst thing that could ever happen, so I learned I was not a web developer.
I
designed websites, and I needed Joomla or WordPress, or you weren't getting a site.
That's right.
But if there was an error, it's like, well, Martine, well, what you want me to do? Like, I don't know. We're going to call the hosting company.
That's right.
I don't code.
Yeah, you know.
But that was a level that I was lacking, was tech. I had everything else. And in theory, I knew what needed to happen, but I couldn't make it happen. And as we all are here in Atlanta, you know, you meet a lot of people. Oh, I know this and I know this and I know that. Oh, yeah, I got somebody that knows somebody. And then they don't know squat, nothing, you know. And but I knew throughout the years, Dexter would, because I was like Facebook message, be like, question. Such as, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And it was like, so at that day, I said, I need an app for me. I need an app. And he builds mobile apps. So then it was like, okay, let's meet. And then we were talking, and he was just kind of back and forth. I was like, Dexter, jump. Just jump. I don't know what you're doing. You've made billions of dollars for these corporations with tech. Jump. And Dexter jumped and was like, I'm done. Then this, I'll do this full time instead of half and half. He was what I call in the book, a 2 full-time job entrepreneur. The business was a full-time job. And then his job was a full-time job.
Yeah.
So, and he took the leap, and it worked. Now I am an alpha female, and I was used to being 100% in control. So It took some rearing to have to say, what you mean?
I'm an alpha male. And so there's going to be some times when I'm going to need you to say, okay, or yes, sir, and just keep it moving.
Yeah,
So we've had some of those moments as well.
Yeah.
But that was the thing. I had been doing tech for a while, and she had been an entrepreneur. My business has been around since 2001, I had 4 children. And so I took a hiatus for almost for over a decade. And I'd gotten to a point where my career had kind of plateaued corporate wise, like a lot of entrepreneurs understand. And I knew then, like, hey, it's time to do something different. And she was the perfect motivation for doing something different, because she had been doing it for a while as well. So it's one of those things where when the stars align, you don't argue with it much.
That's right.
And it happened it was literally about a 20-minute conversation, mm-hmm, in a noisy building with music. And I said, you know what? Let's do it. And mm-hmm, it wasn't even a full day after. I was on a whiteboard. She was on a whiteboard, and we put it together. And it's been really good last 3 years.
Let me tell you something. It's so great when you can find entrepreneurs that can work well together. You know, it's hard for married people to work well together. And
yes,
I say a partnership is almost like a marriage, really, without all the benefits. You just kind of,
right.
You know, so it can be like kind of hard. You know, so when you're in those places, I mean, for you all to be there and to be together, how big a key is communication in what you all do?
The most important part of any of this is communication. There's nothing, mm-hmm, that supersedes that. If we're not aligned, and I mean, every morning we have a 15-minute conversation to get on the same page about what we're doing.
That's right.
And some mornings they're better than others. Some mornings they're bad.
Yes.
But every morning we speak for 15 minutes about
and
this
then
business.
We operate in sprints. So every Wednesday we have a weekly sprint review and then sprint planning for what we're going to accomplish the next 2 weeks. And then you got to be accountable. So like when we're having our daily stand-ups and it's like, what'd you do yesterday? what are you doing today? Any impediments? And then tomorrow comes. It's like, but I thought you said you were going to do. And it's just like, well, see, what had happened was, and I don't like, I like to be the one that, oh, I did what I was supposed to do. I hate when I don't, because then I feel like I got to explain myself now. But I'm a grown woman. I shouldn't have to explain myself to anybody. But you do. But it keeps you accountable and it keeps things getting done and accomplished, which is important. And that's one of the things. You can have a an LLC, and you're a sole member LLC, which is a disregarded entity for you guys that do not know. And then you're also a solopreneur. You answer, you have your board meetings with yourself. And then, you know, you go to lunch with yourself and you make the decisions with yourself. You don't have anybody to talk back and forth to. And, you know, even the Bible tells us in Proverbs that we're supposed to, you know, counsel with advisors. We should talk to other people. So that was different for me. It was different. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm about to roll this out. Anytime he does it, I'm like, you know what? This joker right here, I shouldn't have said nothing, you know?
But you gotta listen, and that's key. Let me ask you this. So same question that I have, what are, and maybe you all want to team up on these, biggest mistake and biggest win.
Man.
Okay. Me personally, my biggest mistake, and I wrote about it in my book, was when I allowed someone to corrupt my dream. And that was something that still bothers me to this day. So, you know, Dexter can tell you, I'm so guarded when someone comes in. Oh, what you good? What you have is good. But it's like, I can't hear you at all because I allowed that to corrupt. And that I get very detailed about it. But then the blessing in it is that that did happen, so I can help other people, because most entrepreneurs become the minority in their group. And when something doesn't go right, they're like, see, I told you, you're going to get that job. I told you this and I told you that, and I'm not going to help you because of this. And they lose the momentum and they allow other people's influence. So if it hadn't have happened to me, I wouldn't be so sensitive. So to me, the biggest mistake of my life. However, it was also the biggest blessing outside of my two miracle children.
And that was the same mistake I had, taking a 10-year hiatus from entrepreneurship when I was, you know, the money would come and then there would be a little dry spell, but it's like, oh, you need to be responsible and do this for your kids and blah, blah, blah. But the reality was I was right there. Like my man T. Hearn was saying, you're sitting there with the opportunity sitting right in front of you and someone else listening, you hear another ear and you're like, okay, well, let me do the conservative thing. And I'm not really that kind of person. I take a lot more chances than that. And so, yeah.
And what was the biggest win for you?
I'm going to go a different route on the biggest win. I think the biggest win, there's a patent that's pending out there that's in digital marketing. And for me, whether the U.S. government accepts it or not, it's been sitting there for about 2 years.
Okay.
But it was my mind that made that thing work. And the digital marketing space is using this thing everywhere right now.
Oh, wow.
And I was on the team that put this thing together.
Wow.
And I think that's as big a win as any, because I don't have any other friends I can say who've even submitted a patent.
Especially patents in that space are almost impossible.
That's right. And this goes back 2013.
Wow.
Cross-channel marketing. If you guys have looked at it and a scoring model around that, that belongs to actually someone we saw as we were walking into the building was part of that team as well. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm going to go ahead and go that personal route with the with that patent that's pending.
Well, that's awesome. Listen, how do people get in touch with y'all?
Okay, so we're all over social media. So you can go, if you know my name, MartinaYoung.com, you can go to MartinaYoung.com and you can get me. If you know my middle initial, you can go to MartinaCYoung.com and you can get to us. And then on Instagram, all of our handles and things are there. I'm Entrepreneurs Trainer, and then Vendetta Systems.
Right. And one thing I want to give everybody, we try to bring value whenever we show up.
Mm-hmm.
We have an Epoch business analysis questionnaire out there. And I think everyone who's an entrepreneur should go out and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
The URL is url.bizup.me/bizup100. It's the, and it'll tell you so much about your business. whether you call us or don't call us, you'll get a lot of value out of that. URL.bizup.me/bizup100. It's going to ask you 100 questions and get you in, get you at least an understanding of all the pieces that you need for your business.
Well, that's awesome. We'll put that information into the queue.
JR, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
To my viewers, I'm going to turn this on you. Can you tell them how they can tune in to what it is that you're doing here?
Yeah. So Velocity, the Velocity Company, we have three main divisions, consulting, events, and the media. And this is part of our media division. And if they want to find out more information about us, they can go to velocityadvisors.co. Or they can find our main event, smallbusinessday.com, or they can go to jrmcnair.com and see where we'll be speaking all across. So awesome. Most definitely appreciate awesome. It. Y'all listen, it's been an action-packed Velocity Small Business Radio in the house, and I'm so excited. My man D is going to get us out of here, and we're going to be back real soon with some amazing entrepreneurs from across the nation making great things happen. Thank you so much.